Good morning, and a good morning to everybody who's joining us online and by all the various ways that you can join in this service. First thing to say is what a great day we had yesterday with the craft fair, and I know there'll be things said and you'll want to know about money and all the rest, so I'm not going to say anything more other than thank you to everybody who took part and everybody who came and spent their money. So. And I know that put a smile on, I saw a smiling treasurer, so you know how good it was. Rob.
Thank you, Norman. Morning, everyone. Just following on from what Norman said, I would like to invite our treasurer up with the big smile to give us the news from yesterday. Thanks, George.
I've been smiling since, what time did we officially give the figure? Half past two. I think it was actually 2:35. And then Margaret got up and she said, this is how much we've got for the door, this is how much we've got for the raffles, this is much we've got for the cake and candy. Can you hear me all right? I can't hear me through this, but anyway.
You have to be quite close to the microphone.
I have to be quite close to the microphone so you can hear me. I bet you're glad I'm standing here now. So you can hear me, that's all right. So, and Margaret went through, and then she gave us a great total. Now, somebody came up to me this morning and handed me 60 quid. And I went, yeah, yabba do, thank you very much. And that was for Maren bidding on a beautiful picture that Maren had created. And then somebody else said that I got another £10 this morning. And it's still going up. You know the wonderful thing about this? You can go through to the vegetable area, or the Irene Patterson room, and there's all sorts of goodies still lying here for you to purchase. You don't get out the door unless you get past me. Oh, sorry, I'm only joking when I say it. Will I give you the grand total?
Yes.
Are you sitting down? Are you comfortable? And I want a big cheer for this. Let's start. £1,530.
Thank you very much, George. Again, welcome to our services and worship this morning, especially if you're a newcomer or visitor, and visitors may wish to sign the visitor's book. We have Catch with us today, Kids at Church. Remembrance Sunday. Next Sunday is Remembrance Day. Our service will be slightly shorter than normal, and after worship we will proceed to the War Memorial for the Act of Remembrance. The Masonic Hall will be open for soup and sandwiches. Blyswood Shoebox Appeal. Thank you. Thank you to everyone who supported the Blyswood Care Shoebox Appeal. We currently have 51 filled shoeboxes, which includes donations from the Brownies and Inverkeithing Medical Group, and £130 in separate donations. If you still wish to donate, items can be taken to Elaine Morris at 13 West Hall Crescent. 14, somebody can he write down. My apologies, Elaine. I'm only reading this on the sheet. Warm Spaces in Sanctuary Cinema. This year's Warm Spaces programme will start this Thursday, the 7th of November, with the first Sanctuary Cinema presentation, The Lady in the Van, the following Thursday the 14th of November, and more details will follow. Prayer Box. Did you know that we have a prayer box? If there is an issue or an individual that is causing you concern, our prayer circle can help. All requests placed in the box will be taken up in strict confidence by the circle, a small number of volunteers. The box is in the vestibule near the main door, and you can also speak to Marion Donald on 882331 if preferred. Disasters Emergency Committee Appeal. Please consider donating, if you can, to the DEC appeal for the peoples of Gaza and Lebanon. DEC works with 15 well-known charities, including Christian Aid and Tear Fund. To deliver aid to those in need, the UK and Scottish governments are adding match funding to donations. Visit www.dec.org.uk for more information. As George intimated, there's a stall still outside from yesterday for sale of items, and there is still some cakes left. Other intimations. There are further intimations on the printed sheet. This can be viewed on Facebook or downloaded from our website if you do not have a copy. And the duty team today is, welcome is Alison along with myself as Widow. Prayers are being read by Norman. The reader is Alistair. And the tech team is Doug and Caroline. Thank you very much.
I've got to say, Doug isn't looking quite so well. Is he? It's Madison who's up there. I don't know what Madison will say about that later, but there we go. She'll no doubt have something to say. Let's worship God now by singing what is a modern version of part one of the Psalms. So we're going to sing hymn number 65, Jubilate, Everybody. Dedicate our offering. Almighty God, bless the gifts of your people. Receive the money that we present and use it in the work of your kingdom and to your glory through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. On Thursday evening, I got an awful lot of visitors at the manse. Have you any idea why I was getting visitors? Why was I getting visitors? Do you think it's because I'm a really nice person? All the adults laughed about that. What was Thursday? Halloween. Goodness, I thought you'd maybe all forgotten. How many people had masks on and dressed up and out for Halloween? I thought there might be some. So there were loads of people came to my door, and thankfully, Karen and I don't speak. Or maybe it's I don't listen. Anyway, it's one of those. Because when Karen got home, she said, "Were you at the shops?" I said, "Yes." She said, "I thought you knew I would get sweets." So we both got boxes of sweets, and thank goodness we did, because we would have used more than I'd bought and more than Karen had bought if it had been individual. Lots of people were there, and some scary masks and some even scarier jokes. There were some terrible jokes, but the one that was I was told most, you'll want to hear it, I'm sure, and I'm sure most of you know the answer. Why did the skeleton not dance at the party?
Because he had no body to go with.
Because he had no body to dance with, yep, nobody to go with. Yep. I don't know how many times I heard that on Thursday night, from very small children to some of the slightly older ones. All a bit of fun. Do you like jokes?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Now, there is a joke amongst musicians. Anybody here play an instrument?
Yeah.
Right, good, good. Right, here's the musical joke. If you can play, you're given an instrument. If you can't play, they give you two sticks and make you the drummer. And if you can't manage two sticks, they give you one stick and make you the conductor. And it was a conductor that told me that. So, and you think, that's dead easy, isn't it? You just wave the stick in time to the music and everybody does what they should. But of course, it's not as easy as that. It's quite a difficult job. Anybody here play a sport? Or have played a sport? How many of you have a real love for umpires and referees? Anybody go to the football?
No.
Have you heard what referees are sometimes called? Maybe not the kind of language you want to hear.
No.
And that's a really difficult job.
No.
Because you've got to keep people in order. It's a bit like being the conductor. And it's not a joke when you're trying to keep people sorted out. But of course, we need rules to be able to do things. You can't play a sport without rules. You can't play music unless you follow the rules of music. If there were no rules in your house, what would it be like? And don't say great. But what do we do when we're given a rule? I can hear some of the adults laughing. Well, what you do is you see how far you can stretch that rule. And there's all sorts of ways that people do that. Now, I'm told, and I hope I've got this right, I am told... Oh, come in. Come and join us. That's okay. Hi. It's good to see you. I've been talking about rules. Do you like rules? You do. You always obey the rules in the house. You do. Right. Well, you'll maybe have to teach me, because you know what happens when I'm given a rule? I think, I wonder how far I can stretch this. You know? And I got into trouble a fair bit as a wee boy. I'm probably not any better now.
Okay.
Yeah. But it's something, there's something in us that says, can we just stretch the rules a bit? And later in the service, I'm going to be talking a bit about rules and about Jesus being asked, well, what's the most important rule? What's the most important rule in your house? That's a really good rule. Anybody got an important rule in their house? What do you have to do, boys?
Nothing.
Nothing? I'll have to check that one out later. I saw some raised eyebrows. Is there an important rule?
Clearly not.
Clearly not. Well, you can maybe have a wee think about that, because Jesus was asked a big question. What's the most important command that that we have in the commands that God has given? And Jesus said, it's to love God with everything that you are and love other people as much as you love yourself. And he said, all of that, all of the other laws are controlled by that. And the thing about love is you can stretch it, but you can only stretch it in a good direction. So that's the rule that you can stretch, and you can stretch love as far as it will go. But it doesn't allow you to go, well, what's the minimum I need to do? Because it doesn't work like that. And if we want to know how it really works, it's because God loves us so much. He loves us absolutely, completely. And his love stretches beyond anything that we can measure.
Okay.
Right, I know we should probably sing something. And we're going to sing, well, what should bind us together as God's people? It should be love. And so we're going to sing from Mission Praise, number 54, if people use books. But the words will come up on screen, and we're going to sing Bind Us Together. Worship God now in prayer. Let us pray. Almighty God, Lord of all, creator and source of our being, we praise and glorify you. We lift our hearts and voices in praise. We sing to your glory. We praise you from the depth of our being and pray that our joy in your presence will reach the heights of heaven. You call us into your presence. You take delight in us as your children. You embrace us and lift us to a place of honour, that place where we know that we belong to your kingdom and are your people. Through Jesus, you offer salvation. Through the Holy Spirit, you gift and enable us. Through your embrace, we are encapsulated by your love. We give thanks for all that we receive from you, all that we cannot achieve by our own efforts, for we know that we are imperfect human beings. Here in the light of your presence, we know our human frailty. But you reach out, longing to restore and forgive. So in your presence, as we seek forgiveness for the wrong in our lives, we take a moment to confess. We take a moment of quiet to open our hearts and minds to you. With grateful hearts, we receive the forgiveness you offer. Our sin is forgiven, our guilt is no more. We are made right in your presence. We pray that you will guide and guard us as we seek to live out your love in our daily living. Keep us faithful to you, to the faith we profess, bringing glory to your name. And now we ask you to hear us as we use the words that Jesus taught that great family prayer of the church. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Our readings this morning are in part to do with rules. The first reading comes from the book of Psalms, where the psalmist recognises how good it is to be right with God, but also recognises how much he needs to do to be right with God. And then that question that is asked of Jesus about the greatest commandment, the story from Mark's Gospel. Alistair is going to read for us.
So let us hear the word of God. So from Psalm 119, verses 1 to 8. Blessed are those whose ways are blameless, who walk according to the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his statutes and seek him with all their heart. They do no wrong but follow his ways. You have laid down precepts that are to be fully obeyed. Oh, that my ways were steadfast in obeying your decrees. Then I would not be put to shame when I consider all your commands. I will praise you with an upright heart as I learn your righteous laws. I will obey your decrees. Do not utterly forsake me. Amen. And then from the Gospel of Mark, Mark chapter 12, reading verses 28 to 34, and pick it up where Jesus had been in conversation with Pharisees and Herodians and Sadducees. And then in verse 28, one of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating. Noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer, he asked him, "Of all the commandments, which is the most important?" "The most important one," answered Jesus, "is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, and with all your mind and with all your strength. The second is this: Love your neighbour as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these." "Well said, teacher," the man replied. "You are right in saying that God is one and there is no other but him. To love him with all your heart, with all your understanding, and with all your strength, and to love your neighbour as yourself, is more important than all burnt offerings and sacrifices." When Jesus saw that he had answered wisely, he said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." And from then on, no one dared ask him any more questions. Amen. May God bless to us this reading from his holy word.
We sing now hymn number 120. God, we praise you. God, we bless you.
Father, by your church.
In the days before we had screens in church and removed pews, there was an interesting puzzle for those who arrived early at church. In most churches, you will still find hymn boards and scripture boards. In the days of pews and before screens, we would look at these, and the puzzle was, what was the theme of the sermon going to be? I did this when I moved to Edinburgh back in the mid-1970s. I joined Mayfield Church, where the minister just happened to be Bill MacDonald, who began his ministry in Limekilns, my other church down the road. He was there in the 1950s. Bill MacDonald was a very clever man. And sometimes, when I looked at what he'd chosen as readings, I could find nothing in common between the two readings. And I'd then go to the hymns, and I could not work out what the theme of the sermon would be. And on those occasions, Bill did the impossible. He connected everything up and took us into unexpected directions and really made us think. I sometimes thought, as a young man sitting on a hard pew trying to work these things out, that he must have been an absolute master at cryptic crosswords. He had such an agile mind. When I looked at the reading set for this Sunday, it struck me that in our world today, in our society, there might seem very little connection between statutes and commands when compared with love. Jesus tells us the most important commandment is love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. And the second is, love your neighbour as yourself. In Jesus' words, there is no greater commandment than these. In our society, love is understood as an emotion, something that we feel. And obedience, that which is to do with statutes and commandments and laws, that's all about decision making. It's to do with the mind. One is to do with the heart, the other is to do with the mind. 3 weeks ago, here in church, we read the story of the rich young man, a man who was very good, faithful in obedience, but something was missing. And he went to Jesus with a question about eternal life. How can I be connected? How can I belong to God, belong to the kingdom of God? And Jesus' answer to him was not about obedience. He knew about obedience. It was all about, what do you love most? And what he said to the young man is, what you need is a change of heart. The young man was looking for something to do, whereas Jesus gave him something to be. In many ways, that is the plea at the beginning of Psalm 119. The psalmist is looking at those who seem so obedient and saying, that's what I want to be like. Now, I purposely left on the screen the first bit of that psalm. Psalm 119 is split into sections, and each section has a letter of the Hebrew alphabet. So you would notice a Hebrew letter and Aleph, which is the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet. In Greek, it's Alpha, which is very often taken as the beginning. So the psalm begins by saying, this is what I want to be. And of course, we know Jesus as the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. The psalm begins by declaring how good it is to be right with God, to live a blameless life. The psalmist expresses his longing to be right with God. Here is a recognition of the need for obedience, but also a recognition of human failure. The psalmist does not give up to his own expectation of himself, but neither does he give up. He longs for this. We can almost hear the disappointment in self. Oh, that my ways were steadfast in obeying your decrees. Then I would not be put to shame when I consider all your commands. And then the declaration of intent. I will praise you with an upright heart. As I learn your righteous laws, I will obey your decrees. Do not utterly forsake me. I'm sure we've all heard that statement that we are equal under the law, or that no one is above the law. And in its highest form, we would have to say that this is where God's law is. God's law is there to give us freedom rather than restriction. And I was asking the youngsters about rules. I know how much I was so annoyed at the rules that my parents had. I recognised they had to be there, but I still didn't like them. I used to try and find ways around the rules in school. When I left school and went into the workplace, I discovered that the standard on a factory shop floor is whatever the rules are, the challenge is how do you get around them. It's part of our human makeup. But when we consider ourselves before God, who's that person that you go, really? You know, how can you not keep the simplest of rules? Who's the person that irritates you most in terms of not being good enough? And I can almost guarantee it's the person you look at in the mirror. I know I do. Because no matter how much I say, I will or I will not, I find ways where I don't keep to what I even want to do. In its highest form, God's law is to give us freedom rather than restriction. To have no law is not freedom, it is simply license. The question asked of Jesus by a teacher of the law comes from observing that Jesus understood both the letter of the law and the underlying principles of the law. The question is there to bring this into focus. The teacher of the law wants to be sure. I am pretty sure this is a genuine question. This is not to trip up Jesus, as many teachers of the law tried to. This, yes, it's a test. And the question at first might seem to be one of understanding. Of all the commandments, which is most important? This might bring an answer that is to do with the letter of the law and limits upon behavior. But the teacher of the law then recognizes that Jesus has not just given an answer that any expert might give. He has gone to the very heart of the law by adding to the most important commandment a second that reveals how we are to live under law. The law of love encompasses all other law because it takes right behavior away from being a burden to being a joy. Who declares their love by asking, what's the minimum required? Who declares their love by asking how much they can please self before they have to do something for the other? The law of love is elastic, but only in the sense of being able to accept more rather than being satisfied with less. It is the most difficult law to obey, because there is never an obedience that is big enough, but it's also the law that encompasses us completely, because it's about God's love for us. The law of love, lasting love, is not about the passion of first love, but it is that too. It's not all about feelings. It's about depth. It's about a lasting desire to serve the other. Less about falling in love and more about being in love. It's the kind of love that Paul describes in 1 Corinthians 13 as patient and kind, a love that protects and trusts and hopes and perseveres, a love that will never fail. When Jesus talks of us loving God with all that we are, it is because God loves us with an even greater depth and encompasses all that we are. When Jesus talks about us loving each other, it is because we are to see in the other someone loved by God. Not easy, but we are to have that love from God. So no matter how annoying the person is, no matter how much they have irritated us, we are to see in that face someone loved by God. Maybe even the most difficult of all, the face that you see in the mirror is someone loved by God. And so our love is in response to that love. There is so much hurt and hatred in our world. There is so much self-interest and selfishness in our world. There is so much calculation of cost when asked to do the right thing. The cure for evil is not through laws where we can quantify. The cure for what we see in the world around us is to love. And that's what we are called to take out with us. I have a habit of putting a little quotation underneath the title for the sermon. I saw this and I thought, what a nice quotation. And I put it in there. And then I started to think about it. And I'd sent out the order of service before I could change it. Because there is the real challenge for us. The measure of loving God is to love him without measure. And if you take away anything from worship today, take that into your thoughts and prayers in the week to come. That the true measure of loving God is to love him without measure. And always remembering Jesus' words, hear that the Lord our God, the God of Israel, and maybe that's something when we think about where Israel is at the moment, and maybe there's a nation that needs to hear these words. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. And the second, and you can almost imagine Jesus saying this very quickly, the second, because it's connected in, how do you live out the love of God? You live it out in loving others. Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. So, the true measure of loving God is to love him without measure. Amen. And that takes courage. So we're going to sing hymn 513, Courage, Brother, Do Not Stumble. our prayers for other people. Let us pray. Almighty God, help us to live out our faith in loving service. As much as we pray for the world, send us out to be light in the world and the salt of the earth, a transforming power for good as we share your love with the people we meet, the words we speak, and the actions we take. This morning, we cannot but pray for the people of Spain as they come to terms with the flooding of the last few days. It is hard for us to imagine what it was like to experience a year's rain in less than a day. The pictures and stories tell of suffering and destruction beyond our imagining. We pray that you will comfort the bereaved, bring healing to those injured, and aid to those who have lost home, livelihood, and so much more. We pray that this reminder of the effects of global warming on weather events will not go unheeded. And so we pray for those who have power and influence to make decisions within and between nations. We pray for a change of attitude toward environment, for our present and for the future of our planet. But we also remember our responsibility to care for this earth, your creation, to show our faith in our actions. As we look toward next Sunday, as we wear our poppies, we are aware that conflict did not end in 1945, in the same way that 1918 was not the end of the war that was meant to end all wars. For our world is still a world of conflict. We think of the Israeli-Palestinian conflict, the suffering of so many, and the gradual spread of that conflict beyond Israel and Gaza to surrounding nations. We think of the growing plight of the civilian population in Gaza and all the hurt in Lebanon and beyond. We think of those who have suffered because of airstrikes and drone attacks. And no sign of peace as this conflict draws others in. We think too of the need for aid to reach those who are suffering so much now, and all that seems to be done to prevent aid reaching them. We pray for compassion. We pray for your love to be found even in the darkest of places. We think too of the conflict in Ukraine. We know how easily conflict draws in other nations, and this conflict could become so much worse. The destruction and loss of life becoming more than it is now. And we think of the enmity and distrust that will be there well beyond the current conflict, whoever is thought to have won or lost. And all the other conflicts across the face of the earth. Lord, we remember people suffering because they see the other as the enemy, where hatred seems to rule and love seems to be so far away. With so many, we cry out for peace and we long for justice. As we think of those who have authority on earth, who make difficult decisions, we remember the election taking place in the USA. As it enters these last days, guide those who are voting. And whatever the result, we pray that there will be real effort to unite that country. And whoever becomes president, we pray that they will use their authority well, not just for their own nation, but for the place of that nation in service of this world. We are aware of the need for prayer in our own nation. We ask you to guide our Prime Minister and government in their first days of power. We pray for the new leader of the opposition and her place within the Conservative Party, and all that is the responsibility of those who call the government to account. As we pray, we remember all who are called to represent us, those whom we elect to council chamber and to parliament. Give them a real heart of love for the people they serve. And for your church, we pray, in our ever more secular and materialist society, we pray for your people in this land and beyond. Help us as the Church of Jesus Christ to live out our faith and to be what you would have us be. Guide us in our living to be true disciples of Jesus in every action, in every word, and in every thought. And now we take a moment of quiet to offer our private and personal prayers, to open our hearts to you, for those who are closest to us, for our families, friends, and neighbours, for the community of which we are part, the nation to which we belong, and the world around us. Almighty God, we thank you for your promise that you will hear us and that you will answer us. We offer all of our requests and prayers in the name of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our closing praise, hymn number 622, We Sing a Love That Sets All People Free.
Thank you.
Go now in the love of God to share that love with the world. And the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you and remain with you always.